The book of Vayikra, chapter 3. Vayikra is Leviticus. And these are the words. Let's pray. Father God, as we study your word tonight, we pray your blessing on it. Speak to us. We understand something. It's all about Jesus. So to that end, Lord, bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 3, verse 1, and if his oblation, if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering. So what two do we already cover? Do we remember? Burnt offering, totally consumed. Meal offering, right? In King James, says meat offering. We understand it's grain. So the meal offering, it came after the burnt offering. Now we're going to look at the peace offering. All three of these are remarkably non-obligatory, if any would. You know, it's kind of like gives you the option. If his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. Here's the first time we see female offerings. It can be male or female. Why? I don't know. It's been male up to this point. Now, by the way, do you remember when the temple was dedicated? Solomon, it was like 22,000, 24,000, or 42,000, or so. It was a huge number of tens of thousands of peace offerings. And the peace offering is not totally consumed. God takes some, as it were. The priest takes some, in reality, and the worshiper takes some. And the rest can be given away or whatever. So you're going to burn the innards for God, right, on this offering. If it's of the herd, again, we're talking about an ox, right? Here's a slice of ox, you eat this, I'll eat this, we'll finish the ox right here, right now, between the two of us. That'd be a very small ox, you know what I'm saying? No, but this involves like a lot of people, right? And by the way, you gotta remember, these people didn't eat meat every day. It would be like celebration time. I think our consuming of meat should be more of a celebration kind of thing, too. I mean, I think we eat it all together, like for any reason. So, and I don't know if that does us very good from a health standpoint. You all know me. I'm not against eating meat. When God orders, you know, the Passover kill and said, here, enjoy. He's not telling us to do something that's unhealthful, obviously, or that's a bad thing. But, you know, too much of a good thing, because the Bible says what? Eat a little honey, right? It's good. Too much, what happens? You throw up. That's what the Bible says, you know. And too much of a good thing, and probably too much of like anything, you know, is probably that way. So he's making this sacrifice, and it's a sacrifice. I mean, think about something, you know, here it is, of the herd, a free will offering to God. I love you, Lord, here's a ox. Again, this is a man's tractor. Most people have more than one ox. But this guy's wealthy, he's got a lot of them, but it doesn't matter. I mean, let's say you're a millionaire, right? And you give, you tithe, you say, oh, big deal. You still get 900,000, but you gave 100,000. You didn't have to. It wasn't compulsory. It's just like, hey, Lord, I love you. Here's $100,000 to advance your kingdom. It's kind of the same idea. If his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. A blemish is still required. He shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering. What is one, give me one word, a laying your hand on the head. What is this whole idea of the laying on of hands here? Transference, ownership, I'll buy that. Ownership of the sacrifice of the, and when we come to the sin offering and the trespass offering, that is conferring upon the animal, transferring in a very real sense, your guilt. He shall lay his hand upon the head of the offering, kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. He shall offer the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. The fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flank, and the caul above the liver, and the kidneys, it shall he take away. So all that stuff, that's the Lord's. I don't know if you like to eat kidneys, but probably all these things, the fat on the inwards, you know, the fat that covereth the inwards there are the intestines. You know, there are places in the earth where when they kill an animal, they eat every last bit, you know, except the horns and the hoofs practically and the fur. And on all these parts would end up in the stew. Here, these entrails there, God gets them. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord, because it's voluntary. And if his offering for a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord be of the flock, see, we had the herd first, now the flock, right? Male or female, again, he shall offer it without blemish, right? He's saying these things like each time you're thinking, well, duh, but not duh, because I think, you know, if you have the wrong attitude and you're always looking for a loophole, he's saying it in such and such a way that there are none. I don't care if it's a burnt offering, okay? I don't care if it's a meal offering. I want fine flour. And if it's a peace offering, without blemish, without blemish, without blemish, that keeps on coming up to the front because guess what? That's an important aspect. If he offer a lamb for his offering, then shall he offer it before the Lord. He shall lay his hand upon the head of the offering and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron's son shall sprinkle the blood thereof round about the altar. Now listen, it's a peace offering, so why am I putting what am I transferring? Why am I putting my hands on the head of this animal that I'm going to kill? It's still a sacrifice. He is our peace. I want you to understand, these all speak about Jesus. That's why the importance is not blemish. You remember when Paul was arrested, he was in the temple, and he was, you know, them guys that they had made a vow, and they shaved their heads, and they said, well, make yourself payable, you know, pay their way is the idea. So everyone will see that you keep the law of Moses. And I read a lot of, you know, commentaries, you imagine I would, and I remember reading this, well, this isn't got anything to do with salvation, because, you know, Paul would have nothing to do with that. As far as I understand, none of the sacrifices had anything to do with salvation. They all speak of Jesus in different ways. His salvation is our peace. You know, consecration, he was wholly consecrated. God wants us to be wholly consecrated. We're bought with a price. But they all speak of Jesus. And I would have no part of it. I would have none now. I mean, if I went to let's say we still have the temple. Let's say you build another temple, right? And in the course of time, we go to Jerusalem. So I go to worship at the temple, and I buy a lamb and slaughter it. And then somebody says, hey, what are you doing? Well, I got my yarmulke on. I'm okay, you know. But no, you're a Calvary Chapel pastor. Well, it's only a peace offering. Wait, what? Now, I'm not against barbecue, don't get me wrong. I would slay a deer and have it chopped up and have you over for a barbecue, and that would be fine. I'm going moose hunting in a couple weeks. I'm not against eating meat or against hunting and eating meat. I'm not against butchering animals, but not for a sacrifice. You know what I mean? If that's a whole different, when we put it in that, then it's like, no, Jesus is our sacrifice, the once and final and for all sacrifice. He's our peace offering. He's our burnt offering. He's our meal offering. He's our trespass offering. He's our sin offering. And I think this speaks of a peace like, okay, so like let's say, you know, you do kill a lamb. And let's say back in the old days when this is first, so what happens? You get a lamb, right? Lamb's kind of, 30 pounds or something? What are we looking at? Like, 40 pounds maybe. So you take all the innards out and stuff, and take the fleece off. You butcher it up, and you got what, 20 pounds of meat? That's, you don't have a refrigerator. So you have your neighbors over, right? Peace, fellowship, community, celebration time. You did this because, as a marriage. Now that's peace, that's community. Okay, you have family, the Joneses and the Smiths. Now they're getting married and they're becoming one family. And remember, fellowship had much to do with, eating. Had a lot to do with fellowship. Or fellowship had a lot to do with eating. Paul makes a big point of that. When you sit down to, break in the same loaf, it's like partaking one with the other. We don't do that so much because we don't grab with our hands the same loaf of bread and tear it apart and dip it using the same bowl. You know what I mean? We don't generally do that. We go out to eat, and you have your plate, and you order what you want. I have my plate. I order what I want, and I generally don't reach across with my fork and grab something off your plate and eat. I generally don't. Okay, I got too much good manners for that. Anyway, let's keep moving because I don't get bogged down. Okay, if you offer a lamb, he shall offer before the Lord. He shall lay his hand upon the head of the offering and kill before the tabernacle of the congregation. Aaron's son shall sprinkle the blood thereof round about the altar. He shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering, offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat thereof, the whole rump. It shall he take off hard by the backbone. I almost think that has to do with Jesus scourging. I think it's one of the few sacrifices that mentions he shall take off hard by the backbone, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away, and the priest shall burn it upon the altar, all that stuff, right? Kidneys and the fat and the inwards and all that. And the priest shall burn upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire unto the Lord. The idea, this is the Lord's portion. Does the Lord eat it? It's burnt up. Does the Lord need to eat? You know what I mean? Obviously not. But it's kind of like given to the Lord. You're offered to the Lord. This is your portion. If his offering be a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord. So of the flocks, of the herds, he does the one thing, of the flocks, and the flocks can be either goats or sheep. He shall lay his hand upon the head of it and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. The sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof round about the altar, round about. He shall offer therefore his offering made, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver. With the kidneys it shall he take away, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savor. All the fat is the Lord's. Okay, again, sweet savor is mentioned all the time. The without blemish is all the time. Sweet savor, you burn fat on your grill. That's a sweet savor to us. Why is it a sweet savor to God? Does he love that? Does he love when you barbecue? And he just walks through your neighborhood and goes, I do. I love it. If somebody's grilling, I'll know it from five blocks away. That's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful smell. Is that what it is? The sweet savor unto the Lord is a heart that is making peace with God and peace with each other, fellowship. It shall be a perpetual state for your generations through all your dwellings that ye eat neither fat nor blood. Don't eat the fat. Don't eat the blood. Why not the blood? Life is in the blood. Right. By the way, it'll kill you. There's things there that just, blood still drained. And if you eat blood sausage, well, God bless you. I guess, just say the blessing and hope for the best. Some things that I wouldn't eat centipedes, even if they were kosher. Okay? Well, they taste just like, I don't care. I'm not going to taste them and determine what they taste like. Everyone thinks that, remember that show The Fear Factor, and they had them eating bloodworms and just all this disgusting, live, big, crickets and bugs and all this stuff like this. You know, if it's kosher, I almost think I'd like to try it just because, you know, God said, hey, locust, here you go. This is good, you know. And it's probably good for you because, again, that's the way God is. Do I want to eat, like, say, a centipede? Big, long, you know, one with, you know, big hairy legs on it and stuff like that. Do I want to eat that? I don't care what it tastes like. You know, should somebody put something like that in their mouth and chew it and eat it? Spiders, you know, I don't, you know, and it was, oh, it tastes just like chicken. I don't care what it tastes like. You know, I don't eat like, I'm just trying to think of something. Wood. I don't care what wood tastes like. I don't think it's food, okay? It's not in the classification of food. And there's some things I just don't have a determination. I wouldn't eat a dog. I wouldn't eat a cat. I don't care how you cook it, how you season, how delicious it is. I just, thanks. Say, well, you know, what about, just not interested. You know what I mean? So, anyway, and blood's one of those things, you know. Just not really all that interested. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, chapter 4, okay? Speaking to the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin, now! We have sinned and trespassed, and these are not optional. These are obligatory. If you sin. And I think this has, the first one we're going to talk about is a sin of ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord. Okay? Speaking of the children of Israel, saying, the soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not be done, shall do against any of them. If the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for sin which he hath sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. We were talking today, weren't we? Bob was talking about, like, you know, when he gets saved and all, you know, there was synaptic function in his brain that never, things clicked that never clicked before. Have we found out at some point, boy, this is wrong, the thing I was doing? Did we really not know? I think that's correct. Can we sin without knowing it? I don't know that I can say that at this point in my life, but I think there was a time when I could. Is ignorance of the Lord's commandments an excuse? He doesn't seem to think so. Hey, you sin ignorantly. Guess what? You still have to make it right. If a soul shall sin through ignorance, this is what we've done. This is... concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed to do sin according to, then we're going to deal with the priest first. Now, studying in Hebrews, we have a high priest, and he understands us, and he's moved. He's not compassionate. He's not, you know, ambivalent. He's not unaffected. But he is without sin. But that's where, you know, the comparison to Jesus as a priest with any mortal priest, that's where it ends. I mean, we don't have priests who are sinless. So first the priest. If the priest is anointed to do sin according to the sin of the people, then let them bring for his sin, which he has sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. Now, can we see a scriptural time when this actually might have happened? Well, think about Aaron. Moses is up, and he's receiving the law. What's Aaron doing? He's leading an orgy after he had made the golden calves. Are these are your gods? Did he? How much did he know? What did he transgress in his... You think, okay, don't, if you're going to do this worship, it shouldn't be sexual. It shouldn't be, I mean, that's wrong altogether. Did he think he was doing right in saying these are your gods, this is a representation of Jehovah God? Is this something he, it's really hard. Okay, so what happened? The way he makes it sound, right, when Moses come down, Aaron, dude, what's going on here? oh, you know, this people are so stubborn. You know how it is. So I said, hey, give me all your gold. And so they gave me the gold, and I put it in the oven. And this cow jumped out. This bull. Hey, I'm as amazed as anyone, Moses. I don't know how this goes. You wonder, like, what, of course, he's, you know, trying to cover his own guilt. How much did he know? Did he know that we don't worship God? I mean, the first commandment isn't given yet. And the second commandment, I'm the Lord your God. The most important commandment. Okay? Give God his place in your life. He's the boss. We're not the boss. He gets to say what's right. We don't get to say what's right. He gets to say what's wrong. We don't get to say what's wrong. I'm God. Let me be God. Okay? Rule number two, don't invent any new gods. Okay? Are those important? Oh, yeah. Yeah. How much did Aaron know? Is he under this? Hey, I didn't know. Okay. At least in part, I'd be willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. If a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, shall do against any of them. If the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let them bring for his sin which he hath sinned a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for sin offering. He shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head and kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. Is there a priest standing by to help him through this? I don't know. It looks like he knows what he has to do as far as, you know, if your worshiper comes, how many ox have you, flayed in your lifetime? Seems like somebody would have to walk you through it. Seems like somebody said, no, we'll have to cut here. This is where you cut. You put your hand here. Okay, you want to cut it. It's like, you know, he holds your hand as you go through this ritual. Well, he wouldn't have to do that because he would know. He would already have done this like a million times or whatever, right? So he's doing this. The priest says, anointed shall take of the bullock's blood and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. Now we're inside, okay, where only the priest can go. So you bring in a sacrifice, you bring an offering, you get to go into the holy place, right? Oh, no. No, this is the brazen altar outside. That's where I think almost all the sacrificing is done. The priest goes inside, though. He takes the dip of the, he dips the finger of his blood, he sprinkles for the blood seven times for the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. I think he's outside of the Holy of Holies, that veil, but he's inside the holy place. That would be my guess. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense. We have an incense altar, they burn incense on, and he's putting blood on the horns. He's sprinkling blood, blood's everywhere, okay? I wonder myself how. If you've been to the slaughterhouse, it's not a pleasant place, okay? It's just, okay, you know, like the bottle redemption place, how you walk in and you go, ugh. You multiply that by 1,000, I think, okay? I don't think the slaughterhouse isn't a place where they don't bottle it and sell it for perfume, okay? He's putting horns on the incense, blood on the horns of the incense altar. They have these upright, these horns, right? And but what's that all about, by the way? Horns is a symbol of what? Always. Power, strength, authority. And I think this is, and the priest has to know this, because you know the incense is a picture of prayer. The incense is like burned, is prayer rising to the Lord. And the horns of the altar, the horns, the authority there, is you have to understand the authority of God to forgive sins. And you would need to know that as a priest. You would need to know that on behalf of the people. You would need to know on behalf of yourself. Had you ever felt really miserable about your sin and gone to the Lord for forgiveness and I think obtained it when you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins, and have you still felt guilty afterwards? You know, I think you should take the blood and put it on the horns of the incense altar and understand the whole dynamics of what's going on. God has the authority to forgive us of our sins. Who else? Who else? Now, if I sin against somebody, I should go and I should clear that up also, to be sure. But you remember when David says, you know, with his whole deal with Bathsheba? He says in Psalm 52, against thee and thee only have I sinned. And I would say, whoa. I think you sinned against Uriah the Hittite by taking his wife and taking his life. Okay? That's it's the same guy. I think you sinned against Bathsheba by having an adulterous affair with her. I think you sinned against, like, Joab and all your cabinet by setting a super bad example. And I think you sinned against the whole nation because you're the king. And David says, I've sinned against the Lord, you and you only. You say, well, how does that work? Because Bathsheba didn't have a commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Uriah didn't have a commandment, thou shalt do no murder. Joab didn't have any commandments. God makes commandments, and God said, don't do these things. And the thing that he had done displeased the Lord. And I think that's important, because at the end of the day, really, he's the only one who has the authority to forgive sins. Again, if I've sinned against you, I want to clear that up, and I want to restore fellowship. But you're not forgiving my sin, like announcing some sort of benediction on me, and all of a sudden my sin just magically goes away. You remember, this is important that you understand this. You could say, yeah, forget it, Adam. We're cool. It's all good. I forgive you. I'm glad. Now we're back in good fellowship again. That's a good thing, right? But did you forgive me in the sense of, like, not, no. Because you remember when Jesus says, you know, to the man, you know, before he says, take up your bed and walk, he says, your sins are forgiven you. And the people are losing their mind. Who has the power, who's the authority to forgive sins except God alone? Which Jesus says, hey, it's exactly true. Who has the power to say, what's easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or take up your bed and walk? The answer is like, well, God, only God can do either one of those. Well, you can't see me forgive sins, but watch this. Take up your bed and walk. The guy takes up his bed and walk. What's he saying? I'm God. You're right. Only I can forgive sins. You're right about that. Ultimately, so I sin against Suze, I do something dastardly, and I'm feeling really bad about it. I go, I said, oh, honey, forgive me. She goes, oh, I forgive you, honey. It's and now we're cool again. But she didn't forgive me in a sense judicially. Now I'm cleansed before God. God forgives sin. And I think that's why we put the blood on the horns of the altar, sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. He shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering, the fat that covereth the innards, all the fat that is upon the inwards. And by the way, if you have a open up an animal, I don't suggest, I suppose any of you, have you ever shot a deer or paunched out, cleaned, however, huh? Fish. There's a lot of fat in there, fat stores and stuff like that. There really is. He shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering, the fat that covereth the inwards, all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flank, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away. You can almost recite this now, right? And it was, as it was taken off from the bullock of the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering, and the skin of the bullock, and all the flesh, with his head, with his legs, and his inwards, and his dung, even the whole bullock, shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn him on the wood without fire, where the ashes are poured out, shall he be burnt. I think there's a procession going out all the time of people doing sin offerings, I think as often as they sin. Why are they, how far is it if you're in the middle of 2 to 3 million people, how far is it outside the camp? Wow. Yeah, and I think it's a picture of a couple of things. I think it's that Jesus died outside the city, right? And I think the outsideness speaks of hell. The continuous, because I have an idea of this procession, right? So they got wood there, and they're burning the last, and then the guy comes on, he throws some more on, and then another guy behind him comes in, and the guy who the first guy, he's halfway back now, but by the time he gets back, he's, another one. So I think it's had this continual fire going where all the stuff is all burnt up. I think it's a picture of hell, the withoutness of it, and the cast out, the outer, that's my opinion. We welcome yours. Even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place where the ashes are poured out. Burn him on the wood with fire. So the fire is outside, okay, outside the camp where the ashes are poured out shall he be burnt. And the whole congregation of Israel, and if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, can they? Again, I would just direct you to that golden calf. If they sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty. And I think this is the function of the priest, not the priest, the prophet, to pronounce these pronouncements, say, hey, you've sinned, and show people, the righteousness of God in their own unrighteousness. And this is preaching of the Word of God, too, by the way. I think, people come into church all over America, and they think I'm a pretty good person. And then they get the lowdown, and they realize, oh my goodness, I have been a horrible person. I deserve damnation and death and mayhem and all kinds of stuff, wicked, bad stuff happening to me. I think this is, a picture of this here. If the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance of the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty, when the sin which they had sinned against it is known, and that's what happens, right? You were sinning against God, but you didn't know any better, but now you know it, then what happens? Then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin, and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord. Well, all the congregation sinned. Why just the elders? Because elders are always representation of the whole. The elders in Revelation, the 24 elders, I think they're representational of the entire church because they're called kings and priests. And I don't see anyone in Scripture called a king and a priest accepting Melchizedek, Jesus Christ, in the church of Jesus Christ. And so the elders, I think, here are representational, but I think elders are always representational of the whole. And the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord, and the priest that is anointed shall bring up the bullock's blood to the tabernacle of the congregation. The priest shall dip his finger in some of the blood and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord, even before the veil. It's the same thing that the priest did when he sinned, right? He shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar which is before the Lord, same thing that the priest did when he sinned. That is, in the tabernacle of the congregation, shall pour out all the blood at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. These are exactly identical, whether the whole assembly or just the priest. And he shall take all his fat from him and burn it upon the altar. He shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for a sin offering. So shall he do with this. And the priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. How come they just can't be forgiven? So the priest says, so they come to the priest, and they say, man, we messed up. You understand. We sinned. We sinned greatly. Forgive us. And the priest says, don't worry about it. You're forgiven. Special dispensation from the high priest. You're all set. Don't worry about it. Why can't he do that? He's a sinner. But why can't he forgive on behalf of God? What's missing? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. What about yours? What about your sin? Hello? What about your sin? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Jesus died. He shed blood for our sins. People say this, cheap grace, which makes my skin crawl. I got my head exploding for hearing that. What's cheap about the grace that God extends to us? It came at the very lifeblood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. God can say to us, your sins are forgiven, based on what Jesus Christ has done. Think about it. He shall carry forth the bullock without the camp and burn it as he burned the first bullock. It is a sin offering for the congregation. It's still outside the camp. When a ruler hath sinned and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord his God concerning things which should not be done, and is guilty, think here David, but any Manasseh came to repentance, remember? Or if his sin wherein he hath sinned come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a male without blemish. He shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offering for the Lord. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and to pour out his blood at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering. He shall burn all his fat upon the altar as the fat of the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall make an atonement for him as concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven him. I don't care if it's a priest, I don't care if it's a king, it's the same. So it's like one set of rules for the pauper and the peasant, another for the prince, right? No. Now we say it this way, you know, at the foot of the cross, the ground is all level. You know, God's no respecter of persons. We know that scripturally. And if any one of the common people sin through ignorance, okay, now we're going to cover all the bases. If any of the common people sin through ignorance, which he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and be guilty, or if the sin which he hath sinned come to his knowledge, and of course it always has to come to your knowledge, then he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sins which he hath sinned, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering and slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. Here it specifically mentions a goat and specifically mentions a female. Is that the prescription? I don't know. Is it just like, okay, you can do this, you can do this? Or is he saying specifically, it's going to be a goat, it's going to be a female. And the priest shall take of the blood thereof with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. He shall take away all the fat thereof as the fat is taken away from off the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor unto the Lord. The priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. Now, it doesn't seem like in the sin offering or in the trespass offering that is anything that's taken by the priest or anything that's taken by the people. This isn't celebration. This isn't like, hey, festival time, let's offer to the Lord, let's have a party. This is, no, I messed up, okay? And I don't get the benefit of, lamb kebabs or nothing like that. And if he shall bring a lamb for a sin offering, okay, so you got the goat or the lamb, he shall bring it a female without blemish, again, a female, he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering and slay it for a sin offering in the place where they kill the burnt offering. The priest shall take the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar, he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat of the lamb is taken away from the sacrifice of the peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord. And the priest shall make atonement for his sin that he hath committed, and it shall be forgiven him. So it looks like sin, and it looks like sin that we didn't know about, and then it comes to our mind that this is wrong, and this is the prescription. Okay, chapter 5, and we'll zip through chapter 5, okay? Three chapters. Just hang on for dear life. We're just going to... If a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing and is a witness, whether he seen it or know of it, he shall do... If he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Or if a soul touches any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast or a carcass of unclean cattle or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and it be hidden from him, he shall be unclean and guilty. What if he pets a dog? Did they have dogs for pets at the time? And could you pet your dog? No, it's a carcass is a dead thing, okay? We're not talking about just like, you know, petting Fido. you know, I'm assuming, right? We're touching something that's dead. He shall be unclean and guilty. Sorry, two pages. Or if he touch the uncleanness of a man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty. How come is he got always a situation where he doesn't know any better? There's a lot of sins that, if you do know and you do it, there is no remedy. Murder. Okay, adultery would be one. Worshipping a false god would be one. Right? Breaking the Sabbath is worthy of, as we saw the guy picking up sticks, right? So there's a lot of these things that when somebody does them, they're just, you know, hey, no problem. We take the adulterers into the, you know, town square, we stone them, and that's no problem. You know, no offering need be made. So we're talking about, you know, if you touch an unclean thing. What's an uncleanness of man? Can you give me an example? No, yeah, we the first two verses that we looked at dead animals, verse 3 of chapter 5, he touched the uncleanness of man. Once, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal. Leprosy is a great example. Any open or running sore, anything. And we'll look at that when we get to out towards, you know, in a few chapters from now. There's a lot of things that are unclean. So he's defiled, and it be hid from him. When he knows it, then he shall be guilty. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips, to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. Give me an example. Well, how about Peter, when he's saying, you know, Jesus says, you'll deny before the rooster crows twice, you'll deny me three times. He says he swore, saying, and people think he's got a foul mouth. No, he swore, he oathed. What he's saying is, if I know him, let me be damned, is kind of the idea. And I think this is what this is addressing. But I don't understand exactly how you don't know of it. Or if you make a promise or an oath, you know, before the Lord, you swear an oath, and it doesn't happen, like you say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm never going to do this, or whatever, and you take an oath, but you don't keep it. I think that's one of the things that we're looking at here, as near as I can tell. When he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. Verse 5, and it shall be when he shall be guilty in one of those things, that if he shall confess that he hath sinned that thing, he shall bring his trespass offering. So we have sin offerings, we have trespass offerings. He shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin which he hath sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb, or a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. So it's a female from the flock, a lamb, his baby, his flock, same animal, or a kid of the goats, okay? We're still looking at, you know, sheep and goats. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sins. If he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass which he had committed two turtle doves, or two young pigeons unto the Lord, one for a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering. Okay? God's saying, okay, you don't have a lamb. I can see that being pretty steep price to pay. I'll let you bring a couple of turtle doves. You know, he's making it easier to confess our sins. Okay, because they can't just say, sorry, God, again, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So this has to be through ritual, through this offering. And he's making it so that, now there's some things God doesn't make it very easy. You know, if you steal something, you have to return it either twofold or fourfold, or you have to add a tenth part to it or something like that. He's making it so hard so you don't. Imagine if you stole an automobile and you got caught, and for penance you had to pay back the guy two automobiles or four automobiles. how often would somebody steal automobiles in America? I think God's ways are better. No, we'll throw him in jail forever. We'll pay his way. He won't learn anything, and we won't make him a better citizen. I think God's ways are better, by the way, but that's just me. So if he's not able to bring a lamb, okay, two turtle doves, two young pigeons. One for a sin offering, one for a burnt offering. He shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and wring off his head from the neck, but he shall not divide it asunder. Sounds very much like the burnt offering, right? He shall sprinkle of the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be wrung out at the bottom of the altar. It is a sin offering. He shall offer the second for a burnt offering according to the manner, and the priest shall make an atonement for him for his sin which he hath sinned, and it shall be forgiven him. But if he be not able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he that sinneth shall bring for his offering the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering. So think of an ephah as like a quart or pint or whatever dry measurement. We're not talking about a whole lot. Let's say, an ephah is a meal, okay? Just for instance, like a tenth of a meal. Well, I don't have enough to... No, stop. You're going to eat today, right? God's gearing it down. This is very important that we do this. And so he's, making it so... Now he's thinking, well, an ephah, fine flour, doesn't bleed. Well, God's saying, I'm going to meet you where you are, God does that. He shall pour no oil upon it, neither shall he put any frankincense thereon, for it is a sin offering. Why not oil? Hey, we're not... Oh, the Spirit of God. Because remember, the anointing oil is a picture of the Spirit of God. We're talking about a sin offering here. Like, you're not Spirit-directed sinning. Okay? I know people blame God for all the mayhem that we do, but God will have no part of it. It's a sin offering. You don't put any oil on it, and no frankincense thereon. Incense, picture of prayer. When it's not a question of prayer, it's a question of repentance. Then shall he bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take his handful of it, even a memorial thereof, and shall burn it on the altar, according to the offerings made by fire and for the Lord. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him as touching his sin, that he has sinned in one of these, and it shall be forgiven him. And the remnant shall be the priest as a meat offering. Okay, so for this one here, the priest gets to take some home, okay? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish of the flocks with thy estimation by shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. He shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, and he shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. Is this buying away into God's good grace? No, it's still without the shedding of blood. There is no forgiveness of sins, but there's a price to be paid. It's kind of the idea. If a soul sin commit any of the things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord through... Though he wist it not, yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity. Ignorance of the law is no excuse, we say. Ignorance of God's law is no excuse. Is that harsh? No, at least he's got a mechanism in place. And think about the mechanism in place for you and for me. It's not really harsh. It was harsh on Jesus, but that's the whole point. He's done everything to secure our right relationship with God. He's our peace. He's our sin offering. He's our trespass offering. He's our meal offering. He's all the offerings combined. So here he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flocks with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. The priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance wherein he erred and wist it not, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He has certainly trespassed against the Lord. Now, chapter 6, I guess I was thinking of, going like all the way through chapter 7. I said, that'll make a marathon night. So I figured we'll just do 3 chapters, and I got through it in pretty good shape. So I'm going to do the unthinkable. I'll let you out a couple minutes here. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for, I know it's To some it might seem tedious, but we just keep picturing Jesus. And we keep thinking of all this that Jesus has done for us, for his one for all time sacrifice. Help us to appreciate, to know, to just so much, Lord, thank you for sending Jesus to die for us. As without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And Lord, I don't want to be outside the camp eternally with that perpetual burning. And I thank you that you brought me near, you brought us near, and adopted us. We thank and praise you for our trespass offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.